Welcome to Reasoning Through the Bible. My name's Glenn, and I'm here with Steve. If you have your copy of the Word of God, turn to Genesis chapter 12, starting in verse 6. And that passage says this.
Abram passed through the land as far as the site of Shechem to the oak of Moreh. Now the Canaanite was then in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your descendants I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. Then he proceeded from there to the mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord.
Now remember, in this passage previous to this, God had said, "Go to a land that I will show you." Abram sets out and God appears to him at Shechem. He stops him at this place here called Shechem. Now Shechem was about a two-day walk north of Jerusalem and is between these two mountains, Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim. Shechem plays an important role in several places in the future of the Bible. Here is where it starts. God intentionally stops Abram at this place called Shechem between these two mountains. Abram builds an altar here, it's what we just read, and calls upon the name of the Lord. Well, Abram and Jacob both build altars at Shechem when they are trying to get right with the Lord. Joseph's brothers sell Joseph into slavery at Shechem. Joshua brought Joseph's bones back from Israel and buried them at Shechem. Before he died, Joshua gathered the people of Israel together and made them promise to obey God. He gathered them at Shechem. It became the capital of the northern kingdom later on, and it was one of the Levite cities of refuge. Shechem is a place where people got right with God, where the people of Israel thought about God. It was the place where Joshua said, "Are you going to follow God or not?" Shechem is where God leads them to. We have here, Steve, this idea of God taking us to a place where we will remember. That's why Joshua gathered them there. That's why Joseph's bones wanted to go back there. This was a place where we call upon the name of the Lord. Should we have a place, whether it's a physical place or a mental or emotional place, where we can always go back to and call on the name of the Lord?
If we don't, we should. A recognition or a reminder of God and who he is and the things that he's done in our lives. People have different ways. Maybe it's a place where they came to salvation. Maybe it's a place where they were baptized. Maybe it's a place where their kids came to salvation. So yeah, there are different things. I've passed through them many times and reminisced about this is what the Lord did in our family's lives at this place.
In verse 7, we have here God makes a promise to Abram. What is the promise that God makes to Abram in verse 7?
That he will give this land to your descendants.
Now, here is the land promise. He had already told them, "Go to a land that I will tell you." But here he says, "I will give this land to your descendants." The land promise becomes a central theme of the Abrahamic covenant. And it's going to get picked up again. We'll talk about it specifically in chapter 13, where he talks about the land is going to be given to the descendants forever. In response to this, Abram builds an altar and calls upon the name of the Lord. When we get a blessing from God, what should we do? How should we respond? We should call upon the name of the Lord, because the Lord is good. He does give us blessings. When we do get good things, we should call upon the name of the Lord. Don't you think, Steve?
I do think that because we don't have a sacrificial system, because we don't need one, we've had a final sacrifice through Jesus Christ. He's our mediator. I think maybe we lose some of the value in building an altar and worshiping God. But I do think that we need to acknowledge especially important things and bring that back to mind and have it be a remembrance in our lives of what God has done on special occasions.
He builds an altar at Shechem and calls on the name of the Lord. And in the next verse, he builds an altar at Bethel and calls upon the name of the Lord. Abram is thankful and giving thanks and calling upon the Lord is one of the central themes of the Bible. This is how we should respond. This is how we know that Abram was a godly man. Even though later he fails at times, he reminds us a lot of ourselves. So he builds an altar at Shechem. He builds an altar at Bethel. Bethel is also another one of these key places in the Old Testament. Bethel is where later Abram's grandson, Jacob, has a vision of the ladder with the angels going up and down it. The vision of Jacob's ladder happens at Bethel. Even after that, after Jacob wanders and disobeys and gets far from the Lord, he comes back to Bethel. And Bethel is the place where Jacob can go back to, where he remembers, this is the place where I met God. We should all remember, what is the time where we got right with God? If there's not a time when you get right with God, then today is the day of salvation. I would encourage our listeners, get right with God right now, today. Sometimes Christians wander and we get far from the Lord and we get focused on ourselves, but we can always go back to Bethel. We can always go back to Shechem. We can always go back to where we met with God. We can go back to that place where we were in fellowship with God, and we can get right with Him again. The good thing about our God is if we just ask, then He will forgive us. The archaeologist digging in Bethel in 1930 uncovered a cylinder with the pagan goddess Ashtoreth carved into it. Now, because of that, we can be relatively sure that Bethel was a place where there was a lot of pagan idol worship going on. This wasn't necessarily a righteous place. It says already the Canaanite was there. Canaanites were idol worshipers. They were worshiping false gods. And the archaeologists confirm this. The historian Josephus says this was a relatively large Canaanite area. God leads him into a place and says, I'm going to make you a nation there. Does God ever lead us into a place where there's sin going on outside of us, in a place where God, this is the place you've led me? Does that ever happen in our day?
A lot of times that's exactly when God calls people into the missionary field. They're going into a place that people don't even know who Jesus is at the time, or maybe it's a little bit, but not prevalent. Yeah, God calls us many times into places where we need to spread His word and tell people about Jesus Christ.
God led Abraham into a place where there was a lot of pagan worship. He leads Jacob into a place where there was a lot of pagan worship. And He says, there, that's where I'm going to do a great work. There is where I'm going to build a great nation. God can work indeed in mysterious places. Let's go ahead and read the next section, starting in verse 10. Genesis 12, 10 says this. Now there was a famine in the land, so Abram went down to Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was severe in the land. It came about when he came near to Egypt that he said to Sarai, his wife, see now, I know that you are a beautiful woman. And when the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will let you live. Please say that you are my sister so that it may go well with me because of you, and that I may live on account of you. It came about when Abram came into Egypt, the Egyptians saw that the woman was very beautiful. Pharaoh's officials saw her and praised her to Pharaoh, and the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. Therefore, he treated Abram well for her sake and gave him sheep and oxen and donkeys and male and female servants and female donkeys and camels. But the Lord struck Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. Then Pharaoh called Abram and said, what is this you have done to me? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife? Why did you say she is my sister so that I took her for my wife? Now then, here is your wife. Take her and go. Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they escorted him away with his wife and all that belonged to him. What happened here, Steve? Where did Abram go and why did he go there? What was the initial drive to go to Egypt?
There was a famine in the land. He goes to Egypt, and Egypt we see many times as a place where people that are in Canaan go to Egypt. What's there in Egypt? How come Egypt can go through these famines? The Nile River is there. There's an annual flood that goes there. There's fertile soil that comes down into the delta. So Egypt generally was able to survive many of the famines that were going on in the land of Canaan. But that's where he goes, and that's what's driving him there, is because there's a famine in the land.
And it says the famine was severe. This was no light problem. It was a significant problem. So he goes to Egypt. Is there anything in here where he asks God, should I go to Egypt?
No, the text doesn't tell us that. Nope.
So we have here Abram, where God said, I'm going to give you this land. This was the land of promise. Your descendants are going to inherit this land. But now there's a problem. There's no food. Abram packs up and leaves. I submit it's quite possible that Abram was in disobedience here. He should have, at a minimum, asked God, what should I do? But yet he doesn't. He takes matters into his own hands and goes to Egypt. Egypt, throughout the Old Testament, is always a place where people are out of fellowship with God. Whenever the Jewish people leave the land of Israel and go to Egypt, then problems happen. What did happened here? When Abram leaves the land of promise and goes into Egypt, what did he end up doing? He ended up sinning. What did he do?
He ends up concocting a lie in order to do something that he feels that he's going to be killed. I think that's another indication that at this particular time, he's kind of shaky there in regards to what God has promised him, because he's in fear for his life. Well, before, God has told him he's going to make him a great nation. He's going to give him the land and he's going to bless him. Through this shakiness, he's going to concoct this lie and also get his family, his wife, involved in the lie too.
Now, obviously, Abram knew lying was wrong. It was a sin. He does it anyway to save his own skin. It shows, you use the word shaky. I think that's a good word here. He had faith, but it was shaky faith. It was partial faith. It was faith, but it was, wait a minute, because I know I'm supposed to be in this land, but there's a problem here, so I'm going. And they might kill me down there, so we're going to tell this lie to protect my own skin. When, if he would have had full and complete trust in God, then he would have known, wait a minute, God asked me to stay here, and he's going to make a great nation. Therefore, I'm not in danger as long as I'm in the land. Notice that when he gets away from the place where he met God, then he sins. He met God at Shechem. He met God at Bethel. When he gets away from there and goes to Egypt, he starts lying. He gets other people to lie. He gets Pharaoh in trouble. All these things happen because Abram wasn't following God. What's the lesson for us?
The lesson for us is the same thing. Whenever we get pulled into the worldly ways and we get pulled away from a daily fellowship, a right fellowship with God, we tend to kind of be sucked into the worldly things. And before you know it, our relationship with God gets further away and we're not doing the things that God has originally called us for. I think there's a big parallel here between what you were just saying when Abram left the land of promise and goes down into Egypt with us. Whenever we leave in a way and go into the world and do worldly things without any regard to God and where we are in our relationship with Jesus Christ.
Notice when he goes to Egypt and tells the lie to Pharaoh, Pharaoh figures it out and confronts Abram with his lie. I find it quite interesting. The pagan Pharaoh was more righteous than Abram. The man that was outside of God's will was Pharaoh, but yet he was more righteous than Abram. Is it ever the case that Christians, faith in God, saved Christians, will then go and do things that are less righteous than the pagans around us? Do we ever shamefully find ourselves in that situation?
We do, and I have as well at times in my life. And it's always a great feeling whenever you come back to the Lord that you put your trust in him. It's good coming home. Many times we'll maybe have people that are unbelievers in our life that will put us back on the correct road.
Abram should be shamed at this point that the pagan Pharaoh would confront him with a sin when it really should have been the other way around. That brings us to the end of chapter 12. Let's go ahead and read the first part of chapter 13, where now Abram returns. And here's what it says in Genesis 13. So Abram went up from Egypt to the Negev, he and his wife and all that belonged to him, and Lot with him. Now, Abram was very rich in livestock and silver and gold. He went on his journeys from the Negev as far as Bethel to the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, to the place of the altar which he had made there formerly. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. Here, Abram goes back to Bethel. And again, Bethel was the place where he had called on the name of the Lord before. He had been in right fellowship with God. He then goes to Egypt and sins. When he's confronted with his sin, he goes back to Bethel. Now, we're going to find that his grandson Jacob meets God at Bethel at the vision of the Jacob's ladder. But he then, after wandering, goes back to Bethel. We've drawn this conclusion already, Steve. We should have a Bethel in our lives. We should all have a place where we meet with God. And even though we may wander, the great news about our God is that we can go back to Bethel. If we wander and disobey, will our Lord take us back? Because, Steve, I'm sure there's somebody listening to us right now that has wandered from the Lord, that has wandered possibly quite far. Can they ever go back to the place where they met with God?
We can always go back. Always know we can go back. Go look into the story of the prodigal son, the son that went off and wasted his inheritance. But yet when he came back, the father ran to him, hugged him, kissed him, and welcomed him back in the family. We can always come back to God. Why? It's because we are the ones that had left God. It's not that God left us. So we can always come back there. He wants us to have a relationship with him. Please, if you're in a situation where you have wandered away from God, don't be afraid to repent, acknowledge it, go back to God, ask for the forgiveness of the sin where you are, and get back in that relationship.
You mentioned the parable that Jesus told of the prodigal son. Prodigal son got very far from the father, but he decided one day and said, you know, I'm going to return to the father. The way the parable reads is the father saw him when he was a long way off, and he ran to meet him and kissed him and put a ring on his finger and gave him new clothes. That's the story of us when we get far from the Lord. My Christian friend, if you're far from the Lord, now is the time to turn and go back, just like Abram did, just like the prodigal son did. Now is the time to go back to the Lord. We should all have a place in our minds where we first met with God, where we first got right with God. Do you remember that time? Well, you can go back there if you've wandered far away. Don't let the sun go down before getting right with God. Now, the next section talks about Lot and some of his wealth. Steve, if you could start at verse 5 and read down to verse 13.
Now Lot, who went with Abram, also had flocks and herds and tents, and the land could not sustain them while dwelling together, for their possessions were so great that they were not able to remain together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. Now the Canaanite and the Perizzite were dwelling then in the land. So Abram said to Lot, please let there be no strife between you and me, nor between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we're brothers. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If to the left, then I'll go to the right. If to the right, then I'll go to the left. Lot lifted up his eyes and saw all the valley of the Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt as you go to Zoar. So Lot chose for himself all the valley of the Jordan, and Lot journeyed eastward. Thus they separated from each other. Abram settled in the land of Canaan, while Lot settled in the cities of the valley and moved his tents as far as Sodom. Now the men of Sodom were wicked exceedingly and sinners against the Lord.
With this passage, it tells us in verse 2 that Abram had a lot of wealth. They go to this place where now Abram's wealth and his nephew Lot's wealth are bumping into each other. The herds and the sheep are competing for the same grass and the same water. Abram goes to him and says what?
He says, let's don't have a conflict between our two families within our workers that are taking care of the sheep. You pick out a place to go. Whichever way you go, I'll go in the opposite direction. So he gives Lot the courtesy to go ahead and pick first.
I find this to be quite magnanimous, quite good thing to do. Abram here does not do what's best for himself. He does what's best for the other person. Abram, it says, had enough. He was wealthy. But instead of fighting for more, he goes to his nephew and says, you pick what you want, I'll take whatever you don't want. I find this to be the opposite of selfishness because he's letting the other person choose. Now, when I think of that, Steve, in our family relationships and our relationships with people around us, selfishness causes a lot of strife, causes a lot of heartache, causes a lot of anger, causes a lot of pain because we're focused on ourselves. Abram here does just the opposite. He says, you choose. And he lets his nephew Lot take the better pastures. Lot picked, hey, this is greener, more water, I'm going there. Abram took the part that was of lesser quality. But what ended up happening in the long run?
Well, Lot gets down there in the long run and he settles in the area of Sodom. The last verse that we read there, it said that the men in Sodom were sinful in an exceedingly sinful way. While Lot is down there, he's moved in amongst people that are really, really not fearing God.
They're not fearing God. And in the long run, Lot, we're going to find out Lot gets sucked into the sin of the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, and his family gets sucked into the sin of that are in those towns. Whereas Abram stayed a little separate. That tells me, Steve, that selfishness will sometimes get us in trouble. There are times where we need to just be satisfied with what I have and let the other person defer. I remember over in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 6:7 says that it's better to be wronged than to go to court against our Christian brothers and sisters. He says, better to you come out on the short end of the stick rather than fight with another Christian brother. In verse 8, in this section we just read, Abram purposely wanted to avoid strife. And I think if people would just do that just a little bit, then it eases some of the strife and the tension and the anger. Why do we have families with so much anger? Why do we have businesses with so much anger? It's because of selfishness. And if we're just give up some of the selfishness. The sin in the Ten Commandments is coveting, which is ultimately selfishness and greed.
What did Abram do? Abram did, he treated others like he would have wanted to be treated, which is the golden rule that we see Jesus talk about. So Abram has a lot of good qualities. He also has some not so good at different times. But for the most part, you can see why he is a believer in Yahweh.
With that, we'll stop here for today. We're still following our man Abram and his nephew Lot. Next time, we're going to find out what happens to them in this land because there's going to be some drama that happens that we can learn from as we reason through the Bible.
Thank you so much for watching and listening. May God bless you.